from WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. It is Thursday, June 2nd, 2016, and we are honored that you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon. Once again, we've got a great show in store for all of you out there today, as we will invite the play-by-play voice of the Lansing Lugnuts minor league baseball team, Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, will be joining us live on the air to give us an update on how the Luggies have looked this season, as well as to talk a little basketball as well, folks. Tonight is the start of the NBA Finals, a rematch of last year's championship series between the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors. You better believe we will weigh in on that one. You'll hear our thoughts and predictions. And hey, you will get a chance to as well. And we're doing something fun this month, folks, just for the NBA Finals. If you call in and give us the winner, again, this is your prediction, the winner, how many games the series will go, and we'll use this as a tiebreaker. If you can name the number of points, just throw out a number of how many number of points you think will be scored in that final game. If you nail it, you will win two tickets to check out the Lansing Lugnuts this summer. All right? So, yeah, phone lines are open, folks. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And speaking of baseball, we'll talk about the Detroit Tigers as Michael Fulmer. Is this rookie hot or what? Yeah, he gets the Tigers out of a rut, at least for now. So we'll chat about that. And on the back end of the show, we'll have Throwback Thursday for you and so much more. But hey, you know what's next. Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners for, again, this Thursday, June 2nd. Michigan State University officially dedicated the Lash Family Golf Center, the new 15,000-square-foot home of the Michigan State men's and women's golf teams, yesterday, June 1st. How cool is that? If you have not seen the photos and videos of this fantastic facility, you need to do that ASAP, folks. The $6 million Lash Family Golf Center includes an indoor practice area, student-athlete lounge, men's and women's locker rooms, coaches' offices, a video room, weight room, and a kitchen area featuring nutrition and hydration stations. The men's and women's programs moved into the building back in February. The gift was in support of Empower Extraordinary, the campaign for Michigan State. It is a remarkable facility. And hey, folks, keep it locked to Current Sports TV throughout this summer, because we're going to be bringing you a cool feature centered on the Lash Family Golf Center. It is state-of-the-art, one of a kind, folks. All right, the Crosstown Showdown Fall Fan Fest, presented by Auto Owners Insurance, an exhibition game between the Lansing Lugnuts and the Michigan State baseball team, has been rescheduled for 7:05 p.m. Tuesday, September 6th at Cooley Law School Stadium. Again, the Crosstown Showdown, it was rained out earlier this year. It's rescheduled for September 6th at Cooley Law School Stadium. Mark that on your calendars, all right? The first 2,000 fans in attendance will receive a commemorative baseball cap featuring both the Lugnut and Michigan State logos. And Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, when he was in studio not too long ago, he brought that cap with him, and it's pretty hot. Pretty fly, I must say, all right? So you definitely want to show up early for those going to that game. Michigan redshirt freshman quarterback Alex Malzoni had his charge of altering a driver's license dismissed Tuesday in Judge Karen Quillam Valvo's 15th District Court in Ann Arbor. Now, online court records show that the charge was dismissed by the city attorney. Malzoni appeared for his arraignment and pretrial hearing with attorney Alexander Hermansky of Student Legal Services. Now, the record showed that the dismissal closed the case. He also faced a count of disorderly conduct for blocking a street and sidewalk at the same time. He admitted responsibility to that count, paying $175 for that also on Tuesday. That was considered a non-traffic civil infraction. The Michigan softball team is ranked number 2 nationally and the highest remaining seed now that two-time defending national champion Florida is not among the final 8 teams competing for the College World Series. That begins tonight at ASA Hall of Fame Stadium in Oklahoma City. The Wolverines play number 10 seed LSU. Yeah, which they eliminated from the World Series last year in their first game, which will take place tonight at 9:30 p.m. on ESPN2. So Wolverines and Tigers. I'm sure Isaac has some thoughts on that one. LSU, how about that? All right. Tigers rookie Michael Fulmer carried a no-hitter into the 7th inning and helped his club avoid a sweep at Angel Stadium on Wednesday, leading the Tigers to a 3-0 victory in the series finale for its first win in Anaheim in 10 games. That's a long time. Fulmer didn't surrender a hit until C.J. Cron lined a single with 2 outs in the 7th, and the 23-year-old right-hander finished giving up only 2 hits and 2 walks in 7 2/3 innings of work, striking out 8. Fulmer has now thrown 7 2/3 scoreless innings in back-to-back starts, moving to 5-1 with a 3.24 ERA. Impressive stuff. It's a quick turnaround, though, for the Tigers, who return to the D without an off day for a 7:40 p.m. Eastern Time makeup game against the New York Yankees. Tonight, Matt Boyd will make his second start as he tries to stake a claim to the rotation spot opened by Anibal Sanchez's move to the bullpen. We'll have more on the Tigers in just a minute. Former Detroit Lions receiver Calvin Megatron Johnson, fresh into retirement, is tying the knot with girlfriend and Michigan State alum Brittany McNorton on Saturday in Metro Detroit. Johnson and McNorton got engaged in March of 2015 when Johnson proposed to her while in Baltimore for the Ed Block Courage Award. So congratulations to Miss McNorton, who will soon be Mrs. Johnson. Very cool stuff. All right, the Detroit Lions signed undrafted rookie free agent offensive lineman Dominic Jackson on Wednesday. Contract terms were not disclosed. Jackson joins the Lions following a 2-year career at Alabama. He started all 14 games for the Crimson Tide last season en route to Alabama's 45-40 win over Clemson in the 2016 College Football Playoff National Championship. Of course, they had to beat Michigan State in order to play in that game, earning second-team All-SEC honors as the team's starting right tackle. So again, Dominic Jackson is now officially a member of the Detroit Lions. And last but certainly not least, folks, the start of the NBA Finals between the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors begins tonight at 9 p.m. on ABC. The Warriors host the first 3 games at Oracle Arena in Oakland, California, and have to mention this, with a 2-1 win over San Jose last night, the Pittsburgh Penguins took a 2-0 series lead in the Stanley Cup Finals. Only 5 teams in NHL history have come back from a 2-0 deficit in the final to win the cup, a hole the Sharks now find themselves in. Game 3 takes place on Saturday at 8 p.m. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. You can also go to facebook.com/currentsports to weigh in, or you can even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. Without further ado, let's start the show.
Thanks. How much are you thinking about the no-hitter? Come on, be honest now.
No, if anybody doesn't know what's going on, then, you know, obviously you're lying. So, I just put up zeros on the board and try to keep it a close game and give our team a chance to win. And Salty did excellent on the playground, on the same page all night, mixing up pitches, keeping guys off balance. Just a a well-played game defensively and offensively.
What's the feeling like when you see C.J. Crone serve one into right field?
He beat me on my best pitch. Hats off to him. Just look to keep him off home plate. So I know we try to get the next guy and go off from there, put another zero up.
More concentration on pitching to contact again here tonight?
Yeah, just try to be efficient, throw quality strikes and trust Salty and let everything happen.
How good did this feel? Was this your best start, in your opinion?
It feels great. Anytime we get a team W, it's a win. You know, it's a great feeling, and defense plays great. JD had a couple nice plays. Ken's, Iggy, Nat, Nick, just a great team win.
And you had a sense how much this team needed this win here tonight, needed a great start from you.
Well, it's a happy flight, so that's all I care about.
Michael, congratulations.
Thank you.
Welcome to WKER's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Happy, happy Thursday. It is Thursday, June 2nd. We trust that you all are having a fantastic week. The weekend is almost here, just one day away. And we start today's show talking about the Detroit Tigers. Now, of course, just in a second, okay, in the blink of an eye, we are going to dive into the NBA Finals. Okay, I love this time of the year because you guys know that I am a huge NBA fan. I love it. Absolutely love it. I subscribe to NBA's League Pass every single year. And we have an intriguing rematch of last year's NBA Finals between the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors. This is the most intriguing matchup in sports right now, folks. All eyes will be glued to televisions across this great nation to check out the Cavs and the Warriors. Get it on at 9 p.m. on ABC. And all the ladies out there that aren't NBA fans, hey, I would say 70 to 80% of the men in this nation will be glued to their televisions tonight, all right? So when 9 o'clock hits, yeah, that's where all attention will be. For most men. All right, so we'll dive into that. And again, if you call in, we're going to be taking your calls today. And I want you all to call in because we have two Lug Nuts tickets on the line. If you call in and once the dust settles on the NBA Finals between the Warriors and the Cavaliers, for those who have correctly picked the winner, also the game in which the series will end, and, you know, we may have people that absolutely nail it. We may have a couple that do that. So in order to put a tiebreaker into this thing, you have to name the number of points that you think will be scored in that final game. But if you call in and give us your winner of the NBA Finals and also the game in which you think it will end, your name will be entered in a chance to win two Lug Nuts tickets to check out the team at Cooley Law School Stadium this summer. Game of your choice, okay? Courtesy of us here at WKAR. So call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. But I want to start with the Detroit Tigers. As you just heard, you heard the post-game coverage of the Detroit Tigers win over the Angels last night. As Michael Fulmer was absolutely just unbelievable. And he has been unbelievable this entire season, I should say. He carried a no-hitter into the seventh inning and helped his club avoid a sweep at Angel Stadium on Wednesday, leading Detroit to a 3-0 shutout. Shutout victory in the series finale for its first win in Anaheim in 10 games. It's been a long time since the Detroit Tigers have won out in Anaheim, folks. And it also, it snaps a nine-game, you know, losing streak. And the Tigers, with that game finishing out things against Anaheim, they dropped 4 of 6 on the road trip to bad teams. The Angels and A's, not great. 4 of 6, though, when you look at what the Tigers did against those two respective clubs. And the Tigers right now, in my opinion, they look like a 500 team. Let's be real here. They don't look like a great team. They don't look like a horribly bad team. They're not like at the bottom barrel of the MLB. They look like an average team right now, all right? The offense is way too inconsistent. You don't know what you're getting on any given game. They lost late on Memorial Day. Anibal Sanchez, not great on Tuesday. And Anibal Sanchez now has been sent to the bullpen, something that, of course, he is not happy about. Right before the first pitch was thrown between the Tigers and the Angels yesterday, Anibal Sanchez, after hearing the news and getting the news from manager Brad Ausmus, he said, quote, "I'm going to take my job back," end quote. So we'll see what happens there. Anibal Sanchez has not been great this year, a 6.67 ERA. He has allowed 14 home runs this year, which actually leads all of baseball right now. Not great, folks. He has a 4.69 ERA in the past three seasons since winning the American League ERA title back in 2013. That wasn't too far ago, folks, when Anibal Sanchez was lighting it up on the mound. But, man, oh, man, what a difference 3 years makes, I guess, huh? So, Anibal Sanchez, he's now in the bullpen, and he joins a bullpen that isn't great for this team. They haven't been great in quite some time as well. Justin Wilson, solid. K-Rod is coming along. But Mike Pelfrey, Mark Lowe, Alex Wilson, not a great bullpen, folks. Shane Green made his first rehab start in Toledo, and it's looking like Shane Green, he's not going to be thrown into the fire back into that starting pitching rotation immediately. My prediction is that he will go to the bullpen when he gets back. So he'll join that bullpen that looks to try and get better. So, and, you know, now this opens the door of opportunity for other players like a Matt Boyd, who will make his second start as he tries to stake a claim to the rotation spot opened by Sanchez's move to the bullpen. So this opens the window of opportunity for other Tigers pitchers who want to take Sanchez's spot. So we'll see what happens. But back to Michael Fulmer, though. This is a kid who is just completely lights out. He's 23 years old. He's a righty. And he finished giving up only two hits and two walks in 7 2/3 innings of work. He fanned eight. I mean, he was spectacular last night. He was fantastic. It was great watching him do what he has done this entire year. Fantastic. This is actually also Fulmer's third straight start allowing one or fewer earned runs in seven or more innings. That is absolutely fantastic. He has been hot, folks. Absolutely hot. And Fulmer, Justin Verlander, I mean, those are two guys that, you know, they have a, you know, it's interesting watching this relationship. Whenever you see young guys, you know, come to a ball club to see who, you know, who really, you know, becomes that guy who, you know, really ushers that rookie in. And JV and Fulmer have a pretty cool relationship. And JV was asked about, you know, Fulmer, his outing after that game yesterday. And JV said, quote, "Fulmer looks dominant right now," end quote. And he does. You know, you can pretty much predict that anytime Fulmer goes out there, you are going to get a solid outing from this young kid. And, hey, you have to admit that right now, he is an American League Rookie of the Year candidate. Simple as that. His name is already being thrown around in that hat. Michael Fulmer is that good, folks. That good. The problem is, you know, again, the starting pitching has not been great for the Tigers. The bullpen hasn't been great for the Tigers. I mean, anybody who's on the mound, you don't know what you're getting, except with the exception of Fulmer. You know, Jordan Zimmerman has been pretty solid this year. Justin Verlander, for the most part, has been solid as well. But the rest of the starting pitchers is like, you just don't know. It's a crapshoot every time. Bullpen, again, you know, I think K-Rod is coming along now. He's playing much better than he did to start the year. But, you know, you never know with the Tigers. You got to still keep that blinking yellow light on, I tell you that. So, you know, Wilson, K-Rod, solid, but the rest of that bullpen, you don't know. The bats are getting better now, and this is one of the, on paper, one of the best batting lineups you'll find in baseball. So that's going to come. I'm not worried about that. But as of right now, there's so many question marks on this team. There's so many inconsistencies on this team that you can't make any hard assumptions about the Tigers. Again, they look like a 500 team, folks. So, Tigers, Yankees, tonight, 7:40 p.m. Eastern time. It's a makeup game against the New York Yankees. So, not much time for the Tigers to rest. The New York Yankees, they sit in fourth place of the American League East at 24-28. That's a 46% win percentage. and they are 7.5 games in behind of the AL East leader in the Boston Red Sox. The Red Sox are 32-21 and have looked so good. I don't know if you guys have seen this young stud by the name of Mookie Betts, but folks, this dude is the real deal. He's the first Red Sox to ever hit in back-to-back games, hit homers in the first and second inning. That's unbelievable. That's unbelievable. I mean, again, just Google the kid. I mean, he's unbelievable. He's got great swag. He balls out with a gold chain around his neck. I mean, I love his swag. I love his swag. And watching him, you know, I caught the highlights of that game last night on SportsCenter. Just the highlights of Mookie Betts. And, gosh, he's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Mookie Betts, again, he scored his 51st home run of the season on Wednesday. That's the most through June 1st in Red Sox history. Unbelievable. The last time any MLB player had 50-plus runs through this point in the season was actually Lance Berkman with 57 for the Houston Astros back in 2008. I don't think, but again, I've never seen a player, and again, he's the first Red Sox to ever do this, Red Sox player to ever do this, I should say, in back-to-back games to hit a homer in the first and second innings. The kid is unbelievable. Unbelievable. So Boston right now, they are in control of the AL East right now, even though Boston did lose last night. They still look pretty good, folks. Still look pretty good. They're playing the Baltimore Orioles right now. So check out Mookie Betts, though. He is certainly a fun player to watch. Folks, in just a minute, we'll be chatting with the play-by-play voice of the Lansing Lugnuts, Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, as he gives us an update on how the Luggies have looked this year. But in the meantime, before we hit our first break, I want to bring up the NBA Finals. Yes, I cannot wait for this series, folks. I have been waiting on this, just like many NBA fans have been and have predicted, to see a rematch between the Cleveland Cavaliers and Golden State Warriors. Round two, folks. Ding, ding. Here we go. LeBron James now has a healthy Cleveland Cavalier supporting cast. The Golden State Warriors accomplished a feat that hasn't been accomplished since the mid-90s, breaking the Chicago Bulls record of 72-10, getting one more win than the Bulls, going 73-9 this past year. It's not been an easy road for the Golden State Warriors to get to this point. They came back. They had to rattle off three straight games against the Oklahoma City Thunder in order to pull out this series, to pull out the Western Conference series, I should say, Western Conference Finals series, and to end up here in the NBA Finals. And now they will play a man in LeBron James who certainly has a chip on his shoulder, a few chips, seeing as though, you know, and I've let this be known countless times, LeBron James is the guy in the NBA that if he does not win an NBA Finals, if he does not get a ring that year, it's a failure. It's a disappointment. And he is criticized through and through. It's no question. Now, again, don't get me wrong. Steph Curry deserved this year's Most Valuable Player Award. I mean, what Steph did this year was absolutely remarkable. So, I mean, just such a stout year for Steph Curry. It's really hard not to give it to him. But LeBron James, in my opinion, is still the best all-around player in the league. And I think a lot of people have forgotten that as this year has gone on. And correct me if I'm wrong in this, Isaac, but I don't believe that LeBron James received a vote for this year's MVP.
Not a first place.
Not a first place vote. Yeah,
exactly. No, Steph was unanimous.
With Steph being unanimous, I mean, him receiving a first place vote, I mean, that's crazy to me when putting that in perspective, because even though Steph Curry, again, he had a great year, and you and I have gone back and forth about Steph Curry becoming the first player in NBA history to win the MVP unanimously. But LeBron James is one of those guys that I say, if you take LeBron James off of that Cleveland Cavaliers roster, the Cleveland Cavaliers would not be in this spot, in this position, point blank period. They would have collapsed. Simple as that. So it just blew my mind just thinking about how LeBron James did not receive not one first place vote this year for the MVP. But so, and I think LeBron is taking that personal. I think LeBron is going to take that personal, not only looking at history here, seeing as though the Cleveland Cavaliers got just beaten by the Warriors last year. I believe it was 4-2. So he wants revenge from what happened last year. But he's also going to be playing with the chip on his shoulder, knowing that he's going against the league's MVP in Steph Curry, and knowing that he didn't receive not one first place vote. That blows my mind. But he's got two cats with him now who are healthy, who are 100%, and who are also foaming at the mouth. Heck, the entire city of Cleveland is foaming at the mouth, all right? Cleveland, you know, and there's this 30 for 30 out that I encourage you all to watch. It kind of goes through just the horrid sports history that the city of Cleveland has undergone, you know, and I can't remember the last time. Has Cleveland ever won? I mean, when's the last major championship the Cleveland Cavaliers, the city of Cleveland has won?
I think it's 1963.
That's crazy.
If I'm not mistaken.
You have to go all the way back to the 60s, dude. That's absolutely nuts. So ESPN, they did a documentary on it. You know, the 30 for 30 series. So check it out. But LeBron James wants to deliver a championship to the state of Ohio, in the city of Cleveland more so, because they deserve it. It's been way too long. So this is going to be a fun series. And again, I want to get your calls on what do you think is going to pan out. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Again, I want, if you guys give me the winner, who you think is going to win, how many games is going to go, and the third part of this old call is going to be the number of points you think will be scored in that final game. That's going to act as a tiebreaker just in case we need it. And those that call in, you'll be entered with a chance to win a pair of tickets to check out the Lansing Lugnuts this summer. But, Isaac, I'm so excited about this series, dude.
Man, tonight is going to be a good night. I can't wait to get the finals going. There's always a sense of nostalgia for me the second it hits the championship round of the NBA playoffs because, you know, this is the best of the season, but this is also the end of the season. So it's met by a little bit of sadness for me. But at the same time, I can't wait to see this matchup. I'm interested to see not only the role that Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love play in this series, but also how Cleveland tries to match Golden State's plan of going small this time around. Timofey Mozgov has essentially been phased out of that team already. And therefore, I'd be surprised to see him have a major impact. I think Cleveland themselves will go small this time around too. And J.R. Smith is having the best series or best season of his life, I should say. And, you know, set the Cleveland franchise record for three-pointers in a season. That'll be great. And then it all comes down to this. LeBron versus Steph. It really is. And no matter how good the second and third players, being Klay Thompson and Draymond Green on the Golden State Warriors, and being Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving in no particular order on the Cleveland Cavaliers, no matter how good they are, this is a matchup between two men, two willpowers. And LeBron James, he saw right after the MVP vote, he said something along the lines of, I'm not sure if this is really the award for most valuable player, based on the definition of that term, the literal translation. And you and I actually echoed those sentiments. But then Steph Curry responded, I've gotten good at ignoring my haters, or something like that. So there's a little bit of rivalry already. But moreover, this is the best offensive player in today's game and the most complete player, arguably in history, with LeBron James. So it should be really interesting. I can't wait to get it cracking.
Yeah, and you know, you look at both of these teams. I mean, even if this is the thing about this series, both teams have other weapons as well. Of course, the premier matchup will be LeBron James and Steph Curry. But, you know, you look at Golden State, and, you know, the straw that stirs the drink out in Golden State is Draymond Green. I'm curious to see how well Draymond Green plays throughout this series. You know, Draymond is a great two-way player. He can do so many things defensively for you. He's a great emotional leader. He can take it inside and outside. I mean, he can do multiple things. Don't forget about Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson is a man who set an NBA record in the series against the Oklahoma City Thunder. A big reason why the Golden State Warriors were able to even pull out that game six in particular, and we had like 11 three-pointers, the most in single game postseason history. So don't forget about Klay Thompson. You know, as far as the big matchup for me, though, I'm curious, and I brought this up, I am very curious to see how LeBron James plays against Andre Iguodala. Because we know that Andre Iguodala was last year's NBA Finals Most Valuable Player. And Andre Iguodala was matched up against LeBron James throughout that year's NBA Finals. But at the same time, LeBron was able to put a lot of numbers on the board. A lot of numbers on the board and pretty much dominate. That year was arguably the best individual NBA Finals performance we had ever seen. Heck, we even proposed a question during that time here on the show whether or not this should be the first year. That should have been the first year that an NBA Finals Most Valuable Player went to a player who was on the losing team. LeBron James could have won that MVP last year in the finals because he was that good despite losing that series 4-2. So that's going to be a fun matchup to watch as well. Folks, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I do believe we have a caller on line one right now. We've got John from Jackson on Current Sports. John, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Good, thank you. I see Golden State in five easily.
Easily, okay.
I think Kevin Love's butt's going to be on the bench because he can't guard anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to have to play without him anyway. And Kyrie doesn't guard much either, so I can't see him defensively being able to hang, with Golden State. And I just, you remember toward the end of the season when they played each other, I think Golden State won by 30.
Mm-hmm. Right. But again, that's
the same situation.
And I, you know, near the end of the year, though, John, looking at that game, you know how it gets.
Yeah,
the games of the NBA year. I mean, you know, the playoffs are pretty much set. Guys are resting. Superstars are resting. Right. So I hear you, though. But Golden State in five, that's intriguing, though, because, you know, what I look at this series as, John, is when you look at what happened last year. I mean, LeBron James was basically out there playing by himself. And at one point, the Cleveland Cavaliers had a one-game series lead over the Golden State Warriors, who are a much healthier team. I think it's going to be much harder than five games, but I'm choosing Golden State in six, actually. So,
yeah. And I have a real beef with ESPN. You ever listen to any ESPN sports radio?
Yes, I do. Yep.
To me, it's 23 hours and 23 and a half hours of basketball and maybe 10 minutes of hockey. And they talk about that, you know, the Stanley Cup, and they don't talk about it at all.
Not at all. Not at all.
It's pathetic,
I think. And, you know, and that's across all mediums. I mean, you know, if you turn on, you know, Fox and even, the local shows around this area, I mean, the Stanley Cup Finals are rarely talked about. And it's one of those things that hockey fans always get annoyed about all the time.
Yeah. I mean, my five best friends are all basketball fans and they're hockey fans too, but they would not watch the NBA Finals if it was in their driveway.
Really?
Seriously.
Oh, man. That's
they
interesting.
They just can't stand the NBA game. It's a three or a dunk. That's all they do. And it's just not, they like the, you know, the give me the 90 Pistons, you know?
Right, back in the day, the bad boys.
It's just a much purer, better game, and, you know, it's two passes and a three. I mean, it's just not a good basketball game, even though those guys are very talented, this and that, but they wouldn't watch it if it was in their driveway. But they love college basketball, high school basketball, but NBA can't do it.
Well, I appreciate the call, John. Before I get you out of here, again, if you want to weigh in on the Stanley Cup Finals, I know the Pens, they have now taken a 2-0 series lead over the San Jose Sharks, who are, you know, new to this whole Stanley Cup Final thing, this being their first mm-hmm. appearance in franchise history. But, you know, what do you think about this series? Are you shocked that the Pens have been able to pull out an early lead in that series?
Yeah, a little bit. But what I like about hockey is that San Jose was like the seventh seeded team in the West, and they're in the finals. That's the nice thing about hockey. Just because you're first or second or third doesn't guarantee you anything.
Exactly. That's so true.
The parity is really cool. I mean, so you know, I got to admit, I'm not a huge hockey fan, but I definitely like it.
Gotcha.
And I'll watch it this time of year.
Right.
Sure.
All right, John. Well, yeah. I'll tell you what, Isaac will get your information again. If you nail this series, hey, you could be checking out the Lansing Lugnuts courtesy of us here at Current Sports. How's that sound?
Oh, super. Thank you.
My man. Thanks a lot, John, for calling in. Again, the number is 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will be chatting with Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, play-by-play voice of the Lansing Lugnuts. That and more. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, we are taking your calls throughout this hour, less than 30 minutes left to call in and give your thoughts and predictions on the NBA Finals between the Golden State Warriors and the Cleveland Cavaliers. If you call in and give us your winner, how many games you think it will go, and this will act as the tiebreaker, how many points you think will be scored in that final game, your name will be entered with a chance to win two tickets to check out the Lansing Lugnuts this summer. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And before we bring on play-by-play voice of the Lansing Lugnuts, Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, Isaac, I meant to bring this up because you are the first person I thought of when I saw this story. The death of New Orleans Pelicans player Bryce DeJean Jones. Did I get that right?
Correct.
Bryce DeJean Jones, he sadly passed away early Saturday in Dallas, Texas. Now, according to police, DeJean Jones was shot after strong-arming his way into an apartment he believed belonged to his ex-girlfriend, the mother of his daughter. However, authorities say that he had the wrong address, and instead he forced his way into a stranger's apartment. The man inside, who had been sleeping, he armed himself with a gun and opened fire and shot DeJean Jones. He was shot, and it said that the man who shot DeJean Jones, he told police that he called out to him but got no response. He struck Jones in the abdomen, and he was transported to a nearby hospital where he was pronounced dead. 23 years old, Isaac. Sad stuff.
It is. It's just, in my opinion, a huge misunderstanding. I don't think DeJean Jones had any bad intentions. Supposedly, it was his daughter's birthday, and the woman whose apartment he thought that he was entering was the mother of his child. So it's just a sad story all around. There's really no good lesson or good moral that you can take from this. It's just a sad story. So rest in peace, Bryce.
Yeah, certainly a condolences to his family and friends. All right. Well, Taylor Saucedo tossed a career-high 7 scoreless innings. And the Lansing Lugnuts handed the Dayton Dragons an 11th straight loss with a 6-0 shutout on Wednesday night at 5th Third Field. It was the 9th shutout of the year for the Luggies, tying the Kane County Cougars for the most in the Midwest League. The Lugs will go for the series sweep in a 4th straight victory at 7 p.m., tonight, starting right-hander John Harris, opposite Dayton left-hander Jacob Constantine. We have right now the play-by-play voice of the Lansing Lugnuts on line one, Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, our dear friend. Welcome to the show. How you doing, Jesse?
Al, I'm doing great. I'm rooting for the Warriors, but I got the Cavs in 7.
You've got the Cavs in 7, really? You know, I will say, I was looking around, and I think right now, via Vegas, Vegas has more people choosing the Warriors to win this series, but there are many people that are choosing the Cleveland Cavaliers to pull this thing out. Why do you say Cavs in 7?
I have no idea. I think that the Cavaliers are better this year than last year, but I love the Warriors. I'm just hoping for a really good NBA Finals.
I am looking forward to it as well. Well, and we'll get to more of that series in just a sec, Jesse, because I certainly want to pick your brain on that series. But first off, I want you to let our listeners know about the rescheduling of the Crosstown Showdown. I believe it will be taking place out in September. Am I right?
September the 6th, and I love this. So right near the end of our regular season, right as autumn strikes, the Lugnuts and the Michigan State Spartans are getting together, and the first 2,000 fans will receive the commemorative baseball caps, Spartan green with the Lansing Lugnuts logo. We're getting this game in. There was a lot of words, uh-oh, maybe we won't be able to reschedule it after it got rained out. No. You go to LansingLugnuts.com, Spartans and Lugnuts, September the 6th, the Crosstown Showdown.
Ah, that pesky Michigan weather. It can't keep this one from taking place, right, Jesse?
That's right. No, we are not going to get our spirits down.
Not at all. And you actually came in not too long ago, and you debuted that really cool commemorative hat that has the Spartan logo on it, as well as the Lansing Lugnuts logo. And again, as you stated, the first 2,000 fans will receive that commemorative hat for the Crosstown Showdown. Really cool stuff. And Jesse, what about those who already purchased tickets to the originally scheduled contest?
I want them to come right to the Cooley Law School Stadium box office. You change your April 6th tickets, we'll give you the September 6th tickets. Basically, straight up exchange. Come in person. We'll have you all taken care of.
Gotta love that. It's always a great time. That exhibition, gotta love it, between the Michigan State baseball team and the Lansing Lugnuts. All right, well, let's talk about the Lugnuts this season, Jesse. Ninth shutout of the season for the Luggies, tying for the most so far in the Midwest. That starting pitching must be pretty stout, Jesse.
I tell you what, so I was checking this. We played last night's game in 2 hours and 11 minutes. It was the 21st time this season that the Lugnuts had played a game in under 2.5 hours. They have not played a game above 3 hours since all the way back on May the 11th or thereabouts. The starting pitching is legit. We've got future major leaguers everywhere in the rotation. Everybody is going 7 innings, except Sean Reed Foley 2 days ago, who threw 8 innings. It is beautiful baseball.
Wow, that is very cool stuff. And I guess that's good news for the announcers who do the game, right? You know, you get in and out, right?
Well, it's true. You look up and you go, there's another out. And then there's another out. It is so easy to watch. It is really baseball as it should be. Pitchers throwing strike one and strike two. Yesterday, the Lugnuts scored 4 runs in the first inning, and that was all. They cruised to the win behind Taylor Sauceda.
Now, Jesse, the West Michigan Whitecaps currently lead the Midwest League Eastern and are on an 8-game win streak. The Luggies are 4 games behind. What makes the Whitecaps a team that's so impressive?
Remember the Kansas City Royals last year winning the whole thing, and they won it on pitching, defense, and a lot of guys who hit singles. The West Michigan Whitecaps have virtually zero power. They're not going to hit home runs. What they do, though, is they're going to piranha you to death with small bites. Their pitchers are good, and their defense is outstanding. All they're doing is they're finding ways to score runs, and you're not scoring any runs to beat them.
And I got to ask, Jesse, I mean, right now the Lugnuts are 4 games behind the West Michigan Whitecaps. It's so early in the season still, but, you know, and the two actually play one another on the 10th through the 12th in a 3-game set. Is it realistic that the Lugnuts could possibly catch up to the Whitecaps as the season goes along?
Yes, it is. The Lugnuts have John Harris and Sean Reed Foley and Angel Perdomo. Perdomo leads the entire minor leagues, every single minor league pitcher in the lowest batting average against. John Harris just had a streak of 30 and a third consecutive scoreless innings. Sean Reed Foley is arguably the best prospect on the team. He's got competition, but he just went out there, and in 8 innings, 7 of them were perfect against Dayton. And then Ryan Borucki is a super prospect as a 6-4 lefty. And Taylor Salcedo just tossed 7 scoreless innings yesterday, and he leads the team with 4 quality starts. When you've got good starting pitching, when your starters are better than their starters, you're not only in the game, all your offense has to do is score some runs here and there, and you will win those games. And the Lugnuts have a closer in Dusty Isaacs, who leads the league right now in saves. They are pitching it great, and their hitters are starting to wake up.
Yes, Salcedo was absolutely fantastic yesterday, a career-high 7 scoreless innings. The Lansing Lugnuts currently sit at 27-24 overall. Folks, if you're just now joining us here to WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Jesse Goldberg Strassler, play-by-play voice of the Lansing Lugnuts. Right now, again, it's early, Jesse, but I got to ask, how would you grade the performance of first-year manager John Schneider thus far?
I love him. I would grade him as an A. He keeps the right kind of personality and the right kind of energy around the team on and off the field. The biggest thing for a manager in baseball, and I don't care what level you are, is making sure that the games don't blend together, keeping every single game fresh, keeping the guys' spirits high. When you win, that's fun. When you lose, you know what? Feel bad about it now, and then come back tomorrow, and yesterday doesn't mean a thing. So I really enjoy his positive energy, and I think that he's been a great boost to the team.
Yeah, he definitely knows his baseball, to say the least, Jesse. Now, what do you think is the most difficult part of a first-year skipper coming into a program?
I think the biggest thing is making sure that you get the kind of respect that you want, that you know how to speak to every single guy, because you have 25, 26, 27 guys, depending upon, and not every guy is going to respond to you differently. One guy might need you to yell at him. Another guy might need some great encouragement and for you to get behind him. So it's understanding, how do you get through to each of those players, and how do you get the best from them? Lugnuts manager last year, Ken Huckabee, had a really good saying that he would repeat over and over to the team. You know the old adage, what, rising tide raises all ships? He would say to the guys, I know that you want to be good, and I know that you want your stats to be good, but if you take care of the team, it's going to raise everybody up. That's what John Schneider's really worked on, is making sure even when guys are scuffling, even when they're slumping, that they still take care of the team.
So true. And Jesse, I know that us all media types were notified earlier this week that in conjunction with the Toronto Blue Jays, you guys have received pitcher Andrew Case activated off of the restricted list and placed, and Case was placed on, of course, the 7-day disabled list. What does Case look like?
So Andrew Case is a 6'3", 230-pound fastballer, also has a slider. It was an interesting story because he was not drafted. He's out of Canada. He was, as a matter of fact, out of the eastern side of Canada, where there aren't too many baseball players produced. So off he went to attend Prairie Baseball Academy, and then they did something where they held a Canadian-wide baseball tournament. And at this tournament, Andrew Case took on the talented guys from Ontario and from Quebec, and he tossed a no-hitter. And he pitched so well that the Blue Jays signed him on the spot after the fact. So when he gets healthy, right now he's got a twinge in his right elbow, it is going to be good to have him and add him into our bullpen.
Talk about making the most of an opportunity. That's a very cool story, Jesse. Jesse, who do you think has the biggest personality on this Lugnuts roster?
Oh, that's a really good question, depending upon who the guy is, right? You know what? Thinking about it, because as you've seen, the players on a roster will divide up. For example, in defense with football, the defensive players all get together. The offensive players get together. Mm-hmm. Maybe special teamers hang out. So on the offensive side, might see like a Ryan Histon or an Andrew Guiot step to the forefront. And on the pitching side, whether it is a Sean Reed Foley, and you see the guys talking with him, rallying around. But I don't really think that there's that one personality who has stepped forward and been larger than life. I think it's very quiet. I think, for example, closer Dusty Isaacs has really provided a great, quiet, and calming veteran presence. And I think among the lineups, a guy like Josh Almonte, who has been here before, and who can say, guys, what do we need to talk about? Here's what we need to do. You trust him. You listen to him. So it starts with them, and from there it filters on down. And the Lugnuts have a lot of those great guys. And I'll give you another name. Gustavo Pierre was an infielder with us in 2011 through 2013, mm-hmm. and he spoke no English when he first started. The fact that he's come back and he's bilingual has really helped out a young player like Angel Perdomo, who still is not comfortable speaking the English language. That Angel can go up to Gustavo and say, I don't know how to say this, I don't know how to get my point across, and Gustavo can translate and make him or Starling Soria or our other players who aren't so great with English yet. Breaking down those barriers is enormous.
You know, and that's such an interesting conversation, Jesse, because, of course, in today's game of baseball, you see a lot of the great players come from overseas, places like Cuba, the Dominican Republic as well. And they have that language barrier. And you probably see it all the time with, you know, with you being a part of the Lansing Lugnuts organization and seeing players from overseas come to the club. How fast do those that come in with really little to no English, how fast do they pick up on the language here in America?
It takes time. It takes a lot of time. Juan Kelly is working his hardest to try to figure it out. And still, we're talking about 2-3 years for Juan to start breaking through, understanding English, and getting his teammates to speak Spanish to him. I don't think it can be accomplished all in one summer. And I really do think it takes a guy to get a best friend. Imagine if we plopped you on down, and we can just name a country. Let's say we plopped you on down in Poland. There is a Polish Al Martin who is awesome and who you would immediately get along with if the two of you only spoke to one another and understood. But if you don't see that other person's personality because you don't know how to talk to him and he doesn't know how to talk to you, that wall develops really easily. So I don't know if it takes over the course of a summer. I think a summer pushes it too much. But especially once a guy has been around his teammates for a full year and you know you can trust them, then that second year, I think that's where you really break through.
Gotcha. All right, Jesse, before we get you out of here, again, folks, we are chatting with the play-by-play voice of the Lansing Lugnuts, Jesse Goldberg Strassler. And speaking of personalities, Jesse, of course, the Lugnuts have two voices manning each and every radio broadcast that have some pretty big personalities. Not only is Jesse Goldberg Strassler a voice of the squad, but also this year you have Kevin Gale, formerly of WLNS-TV6, also in the booth alongside Jesse. And, you know, Jesse, I love listening to you guys when I can during the broadcast. And I follow both of you guys on Facebook, and there have been two really funny stories that have come out of your partnership with one another. And the first one, I want you have to tell this story, okay? Because I know at the very beginning of the year, your laptop was completely destroyed. Can you tell that one, Jesse?
So day one, we get rained out. Day two, we get colded out. Day three, we get snowed out. Day four, okay, we're finally going to play some baseball. And I love sitting in chairs with wheels. And so it's the seventh inning, and calling the game and going through the out-of-town scoreboard, and here comes a line drive back at me, and I push back from the counter, and I go, I've taken care of myself. And then I see in slow motion, there's my computer wide open in front of me, and here comes the foul ball. And it slammed it shut, and it cracked a piece off the screen, and oh, my God. Yeah, how great is that feeling, right, when you open it up, and you know what you're going to see, and it is done for. And I had the game story written. It was on the disabled list for 10 days. Kevin calmed me down. Other people said, thank goodness it wasn't you. I felt awful. I laid the computer out there as a sacrificial lamb.
Right. You know, and you know what, Jesse? When it comes to the laptop, I saw that Eric Doc Love, I believe, didn't Doc make a GoFundMe account for your laptop?
He did, and I told him, Doc, it's the work laptop. We're good. My office will take care of it. Don't you worry a thing. But yeah, people really reached out. People were great.
Oh, my God. So you actually got some donations out of that?
I hope we gave them all back.
That's funny stuff. And the other story you got to tell, I believe AB flew into the broadcast booth, and this was right when Kevin, I believe it was an inning where he was calling the action. Didn't Kevin and you have a moment where there was a bee stuck in the broadcast booth with you guys?
So this is my biggest fear in broadcasting. I'm allergic to stings. And yet,
oh, man.
Bee flew right on in and landed in between us right there on the counter, and Kevin drew my attention to it, and I very outwardly panicked. And Kevin reached on down, grabbed our Prospect Handbook 2016 from Baseball America, and he crushed that bee right there on the airwaves. And quite frankly, he saved my life. He saved me.
That is fantastic stuff. Well, it's great to have a partner that's willing to do that, right, Jesse?
That's right. We now call him the Executioner.
Oh, man. That nickname is going to stick for years, I think. That's a fantastic nickname. Well, I tell you what, Jesse, again, the Lansing Lugnuts will go for the series sweep and fourth straight victory at 7 p.m. tonight. Starting right-hander John Harris will take the mound. And, Jesse, you guys will be returning to Lansing, I believe, this weekend, right, starting on Friday?
Oh, yeah, baby. If you love Major League prospects and first-round draft picks, we've got them with John Harris and Max Pentecost and the guys. But Friday night, Laugh Q Fireworks after the 7:05 p.m. game. Saturday is Star Wars night, and we've got some more fireworks scheduled. And then Sunday is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Day on a kids' day. Play catch on the field. Kids run the bases after the game. So the Turtles, Star Wars night, fireworks. It's really a great weekend.
Come on out, folks. It's going to be a fantastic one, and the weather looks pretty stout as well. Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. Jesse, thanks so much for your time, all right?
Al, I really appreciate it, man.
You got it, my man. All right, folks, well, 5 minutes left in the show. Let's hit a brief second break, and when we come back, we will put a bow on today's current sports by hitting you with Throwback Thursday. All right, folks, it is Thursday, June 2nd. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am Al Martin. Well, we have 3 minutes left here in the show, and we love to close out each and every Thursday Current Sports Edition by hitting you with Throwback Thursday as we hop into our current sports time machine to take a look at what happened in sports history on this particular date in sports. Here we go.
That the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wing, there's a drive to left. That one is long.
Eisenman, back over his step. Into the slot for Brown. Shoots. Yes. And there it goes. You never know when to expect it. Darren McCurdy said before.
All right, folks. Well, it is Thursday, June 2nd. And we start this edition of Throwback Thursday rolling the clock back to 1883. Yes, 1883. That's a long time ago. The first baseball game under electric lights was played in Fort Wayne, Indiana. In 1935, George Herman, Babe Ruth, announced that he was retiring from the game of baseball. In 1941, Lou Gehrig died in New York of the degenerative disease lateral sclerosis. That's certainly a sad day there. In 1948, the NHL announced that the Art Ross Trophy would be awarded annually to the scoring leader. Elmer Lotch of the Montreal Canadiens was the first winner with 61 points back in 1947-48. In 1959, Ted Williams of Boston got his 2,500th hit of his career. In 1990, Randy Johnson achieved the first no-hitter in Seattle Mariner history. In 1996, Tim Belcher of the Kansas City Royals won his 100th career game. And last but not least, in 2000, 16 years ago, Fred McGriff of the Tampa Bay Devil Rays became the 31st major league player to hit 400 career home runs. That wraps up your Throwback Thursday, and that wraps up today's edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We'll be back at it tomorrow, same time, same place. Thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Thanks so much to play-by-play voice of the Lansing Lugnuts, Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. Have a fantastic day and a great afternoon. Be easy, people.